Good to see everyone out this Lord's Day morning. I would encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. I want us to consider some lessons we can learn from an account of Jesus cleansing a leper. There's some good lessons in this passage for us to consider. We're grateful for the presence of each and every one, including those who are visiting with us. We're glad you've come our way. Encourage you to come back the next time that you have an opportunity. We're going to assemble again this afternoon at 3 o'clock for our second worship service. I have put together a sermon that I'm looking forward to sharing at that hour. It's unlike any sermon I've ever put together before. Tomorrow is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. And what I've done is I've taken some of the questions that has surrounded the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And I want to take a look at those questions in their historical setting, and we're going to look a lot at the history of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So if you like history, I think you'll get a secondary joy out of the study this afternoon. But obviously, I want to make spiritual application to our lives today. We are in a war with Satan. We are in spiritual warfare from the time we become a Christian to the time we die. And so it'd be a good opportunity for us to remember some things that we need to apply to our lives as we strive to serve the Lord faithfully today. That's this afternoon. We have, if you notice on the back of the bulletin, there are many of our number who are sick, who are suffering, who are recovering, who are undergoing treatments. Many opportunities for us to be praying for our brethren here. So I encourage you to do so. And with a list that long, no doubt some people were left out. I know he probably doesn't want it mentioned, is not excited about it being mentioned, but Roger Lawson is having cataract surgery tomorrow. And that didn't make it into the bulletin. I've already apologized to him for that. But that's just one in addition to many who are in need of our prayers. And so let's be praying for one another in this week and the weeks coming up. Let's begin our study this morning by reading the text that is before us, Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things for which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. The Gospels record that our Lord's popularity grew very quickly when he began his ministry. Reports of the wonderful things that he was doing, how he was healing people, how he was casting out demons, how he was giving hope to those who had no hope. That news spread very rapidly. And as a result, many people came looking for him. Many people came pressing in on him, making demands of his time. His fame was spreading all throughout Galilee, but it was keeping him from doing the work that he came to do. It was during this time that Jesus had an encounter with a man who was suffering from leprosy. The miracle that we just read from Mark is also recorded in Matthew as well as in Luke. So the three synoptic gospels cover this brief miracle. But I want us to focus on the account here in Mark. I want us to consider some important lessons that we need to learn from this encounter. First, I want us to see Jesus through the eyes of those who saw him first. And it is in this account, as well as many others, that we see Jesus as they saw Jesus. And that is the real Jesus. There's a lot of controversy that exists in the religious world today. Who is the real Jesus? And a lot of theologians are coming up with a lot of far-fetched ideas about who Jesus is. I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's the man that these individuals saw. He's the man that this leper came and knelt down before. And so we're going to learn some things about Jesus in this, but we're also going to learn some things about ourselves. And so I hope that you'll follow along, and we'll take just a few moments here to consider some lessons we need to learn from this miracle. Number one, I want us to consider the leper. I want us to consider the man who was in need. Notice number one, let's talk about his disease for just a moment. Leprosy is not uncommon in the Bible. We read of it in both the Old and the New Testaments. But it's a disease that we're not personally familiar with very often in our world today. Leprosy was a very painful and a very dreadful disease. Initially, it caused one's skin to break out in a white, scaly rash. But over time, the scales would flake away and it would expose raw flesh, and thus be very painful. In extreme cases of leprosy, the victim would lose feeling in his hands, his feet, and his extremities. And as a result, he would injure himself and not even realize that he had done so. And an infection would set in, and it wasn't uncommon for them to lose their fingers, to lose their feet, to lose their hands. It was a terrible, terrible disease. But also, there was a social stigma attached to leprosy. Because leprosy was contagious and it was spread by physical contact, the law of Moses required lepers to be quarantined. Lepers were not allowed within a city. They had to stay outside of the city, outside of the gates, in little camps outside the city, or maybe in caves outside of the city. If one contracted leprosy, he, in essence, was removed from social contact. He had to avoid all human contact with those who were not leprous, going so far as announcing their leprosy before others by shouting out, "Unclean!" The law of Moses and the society of the day put the responsibility on the leper to announce to others that he was contagious by calling out and saying, "Unclean! I'm unclean!" Can you imagine what it would have to be like to do that? "I'm unclean, don't come near me." So there was that social stigma that was attached to this disease as well. Although the law of Moses contained instructions regarding those who were cleansed, and we can read of that in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, full-blown leprosy had no cure. If you had leprosy and it had advanced very far, there was no cure. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 7, we read there in the account of Naaman, the leper, being cleansed. It said there that only God can heal leprosy, and that was the case in Bible times. There was no cure. Well, today, leprosy is known of as Hansen's disease. And there are medications that have been developed in our time so that the disease is treatable. But in the first century, in Jesus' day, there was no hope for someone who had leprosy. Something else about the use of leprosy in the Bible, and I want you to kind of tuck this away in the back of your head because we'll revisit it a little later on in our study. Leprosy, there's a lot of comparison between the effect that leprosy has upon the body and the comparison to what sin does to mankind. And so the Bible makes that comparison between leprosy and sin. And I want you to kind of tuck that away in the back of your mind. So here's his condition. He is without hope. Notice also his demeanor. The text says that he comes to Jesus. He doesn't wait for Jesus to come to him. But he comes to Jesus. He implores him. That is, he beseeches him. He begs him. And it says that he kneels down before him. Luke's account of this miracle says that this man fell on his face before Jesus. What do you think about that? Here he is falling on his face, prostrating himself before Jesus. Matthew's account of this miracle says that he worshiped Jesus. He came before Jesus and he worshiped Jesus. Look at his humility. He's not crying out from the comfort of his house as Jesus walks by, "Can you help me out?" No, he has gone looking for Jesus, and when he finds him, he falls down before him, and look at the request that he makes. If you're willing, you can make me clean. As we read this, and you look at the request, you know, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And when we look at this, we read this often, we put the emphasis on willing. And let's see, is Jesus willing or not? But that's not where the emphasis belongs. This actually was a statement of the leper's faith. Read it instead like this. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He knows. See, he's heard about Jesus. The word has already spread. Jesus heals diseases. Jesus heals leprosy. He can do this. If he's willing, he can do it for me. He can help me. And so he comes before Jesus. He's in a hopeless situation. He comes before Jesus. He falls down before him, and he makes this statement of faith, this expression of faith. I know that you can do it. Are you willing to do it for me? Here, this leper is appealing to our Lord's benevolence and appealing to his mercy. Can you please help me? Now the attention shifts to looking at our Lord. How's our Lord going to respond to this? A request has been made. And it's a sincere request. He's not being tested. It's sincere. But how is he going to respond? Well, the text tells us, Mark tells us, number one, that he's moved with compassion. Jesus isn't annoyed. Jesus isn't troubled by this in that it's taking time out of his day. He's moved with compassion. The scriptures portray Jesus as one who is compassionate and sympathetic and loving and merciful. He was touched by the sufferings of those around about him. Later in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, when Jesus will perform the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. He was moved with compassion for this group. Later in chapter 8 and verse 2, with the feeding of the 4,000. Look at verses 1 and 2. In those days the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." I have compassion. Over and over again in this short book of Mark, we see Jesus as a man who has compassion. Jesus still has compassion today. Jesus is still moved with pity and is compassionate towards us today. Something else that we see in our Lord's response is that he stretched out his hand. And we might think, well, this is really nothing. He's just putting himself physically in a position to be able to heal this man. But let me ask, do you think Jesus actually had to move a muscle to heal this man? He didn't. He had the power to think it gone, and it would have been gone. But he stretched out his hand, and in stretching out his hand, Jesus was indicating that he was ready to help. It was an immediate response to this request, and Jesus was ready to help this man, and then he touched him. He touched him. Again, we might not think anything of this, but remember this man's condition. He was a leper. He was unclean. And the law of Moses stipulated if anyone touched someone that had leprosy, they were unclean. And they had to go through a process of washing and cleansing just because they happened to touch this person that had leprosy. As a result of that, I doubt that this leper had felt physical contact from anyone who wasn't a leper for some time, however long he had this disease. He'd never felt this human touch before. Jesus didn't have to touch him to heal him. Again, he certainly didn't have to touch him. All he had to do was say the word. All he had to do was think the thought and decree for the leprosy to leave him, and it would have left. But instead, on this occasion, Jesus chose to touch this man. You know what that tells us today, brethren and friends? That tells us that Jesus is a Savior who is willing to go further than he has to go. He is willing to go beyond what he has to go in order to help you and in order to help me. There are some people that will only do what they have to do. Do you know anybody like that? You give them a list of things to do and they'll do it, but they're not going to do anything more than what's on that list. There's some people who are that way. They're just going to do the bare minimum. That's not Jesus. Jesus will go further than he has to go. He's gone further than he has to go for you and for me. And so he touched this man. And then he healed him. He said, I am willing, which showed that Jesus was willing to help him. Remember the request? If you're willing, you can help me. Jesus said, I'm willing. And then he cleansed him, which shows that he was able to do it. And verse 42 says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He didn't start going through a regression process. And then over a course of weeks, his skin began to heal up. Immediately, he was healed. Immediately, he was made right. Today, we've got all kinds of fake healers on TVs and in tents all over this country claiming to heal. What do we have here? We have a real miracle. When Jesus spoke, this man was healed immediately. So Jesus responded to this man's request. He responded in compassion. He responded with readiness. He went further than he had to go, and he was willing and able to do what this man believed he was able to do. But as we read the text, we see that the Lord had a request of his own. The leper had made a request of him, and so now he has a request of this leper. And we read of that in verse 44. The first request, the first part of the request, is that he say nothing to anyone. I don't know about you, but as I've been studying and reading and looking at this and putting together the PowerPoint, I don't know that that's the best grammar to use right there, to say nothing to anyone. Perhaps it is. But that was the decree that went out from the Lord on this occasion, and it's easy to understand. Say nothing to anyone. Jesus didn't want this broadcast all over the place. And we might think, you know, that seems strange because doesn't the gospel go out into all the world? And doesn't the Lord want us to tell everyone that we can? Well, remember, the Great Commission comes after this. Jesus is now on this earth, and Jesus has an important work to do. He has to prepare his apostles, and he has to go and give himself as a sacrifice. Now, his popularity is growing, and as a result of that, many people are coming to him, so much so that he can't even come into the city. Verse 45 says, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And even that didn't work because people came out to him. He had multitudes of people following him all over Galilee. That's how much hope he gave those who were without hope. But on this occasion, Jesus tells this man, don't say anything to anyone. Don't say anything to anyone. Don't spread the word about this. And then he says, show yourself to the priest. The priest were to inspect the lepers and to pronounce them as clean. Some people could overcome leprosy. As we said, advanced cases, there was no cure. But the law of Moses allowed for the possibility of someone overcoming leprosy, and what it called for was for people to go to the priest and show themselves to the priest, and the priest would have to declare them as being clean. Jesus says, though, in verse 44, that in going to the priest and showing himself to the priest as being healed or being cleansed, and in offering that sacrifice, it was going to be a testimony to the priest at the end of verse 44, as a testimony to them, as a testimony to the priest. Whenever this man came into them with perfectly smooth skin, without any blemish at all, It would be evidence to them that a miracle had occurred, that Jesus was in fact performing miracles, which backed up his claim that he was the Son of God. If we can look ahead to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter is preaching the gospel, and he's preaching about Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified just days before. But he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you," attested, that is, proven to you, set forth to you, certified to you, "a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." You know he performed these miracles. How do we know? Many of you saw these miracles. If I didn't see any miracles, then go ask the priest, because they inspected the lepers who were made clean. They know that miracles were done by Jesus. And these miracles confirm his claim that he is the Son of God. And based on this, verse 22, then Peter goes on to preach the gospel, and 3,000 are saved that day. But our Lord's identity as the Son of God, as deity, was confirmed by these miracles that were performed. "So you go," he tells the leper, "you go and you show yourself to the priest." But one more thing he was told to do was to offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded. Leviticus chapter 14 required that if somebody was cleansed of leprosy, they were to offer two birds and two male lambs as a sacrifice for their cleansing, as a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God. Jesus told this man, "You go do what Moses has told you to do. You go do what God's law tells you to do." So notice what Jesus does. Jesus takes a man who is in a hopeless situation, he cleanses him, and then he tells him what? "You go obey God. You go and obey the law of the Father. You go and do what God's word tells you to do." That's what Jesus did when he came. He didn't come to destroy the law. He didn't come to do away with the law of Moses. He lived under the law of Moses, and he expected those around him to keep the law of Moses. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, at verses 17 through 19, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." God's law applied to this situation. And so Jesus tells this leper, "You go and you keep the law. And you offer as a sacrifice those things that Moses commanded." Now, as far as we know, this leper didn't keep the Lord's request not to say this to anyone. The text says that he went out and he told others, and he spread the word around. He probably reasoned within himself, "You know, this news is too good to be kept quiet. I've got other friends who are lepers, and they need to be cleansed as well." And so he thought within himself he needed to spread the word. But the fact was, he needed to obey the Lord. He needed to obey what Jesus Christ had told him to do. So the Lord had a request. Whether or not he kept it all, we don't know, but we know that he failed on at least this one point. That pretty much covers everything that we can look at in this short miracle here. I think we've uncovered just about every stone there is here to uncover and comment on and learn that we can. But we need to make some application before we bring this sermon to a close, because obviously there is application to our lives today. Remember that man, remember the leper, remember the condition that he was in. Well, he stands in the place of each and every one of us who have sinned before God. What condition are we in? Well, we're in the same condition as that leper. Not physically. We don't have leprosy or Hansen's disease. But remember I said there's a connection between leprosy and sin, and what sin does to us spiritually. It makes us unclean before God. Well, when we're outside of Christ, what condition are we in? We are sick. We are unclean in our sin. We, like this leper, we must come to Jesus. We can't sit contently in our sin and expect the Lord to just come by and find us and make us clean. We need to go find the Lord. We need to search for our salvation, work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says. We must come to Jesus, and we must approach Jesus with humility. Remember this man, when he came to Jesus, what did he do? He fell on his face before him. He bowed down before him. He worshipped. That showed his humility. And if we're going to receive cleansing from our Lord, we must come to Him in humility. And that's really the catch with so many people today. They're not willing to truly humble themselves before the Lord. And we get caught up in pride and taking care of things on our own, and we're self-sufficient, and we don't really need the Lord. We're doing okay on our own. And no, it's not until we see the true hopelessness of our condition in our sin that we can throw ourselves humbly before the Lord. And we can make the request. We can ask in faith. Remember what the leper asked. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Remember, that was a statement of faith, not uncertainty. You can make me clean. You can wash away my sins. You can remove the guilt. You can remove the enmity between me and the Father so that I can be reconciled unto Him. Jesus, you can do this. Would you do this for me? And what would Jesus tell us? He would tell us to do what the Word says. He would tell us to do what the Father has said. He would tell us to obey His gospel, to express our faith in Him by confessing Him before others, to repent of our sins, and to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. So we see ourselves in this. We see ourselves in this miracle. But we also see the Lord. And we see that the Lord is the same today as He was 2,000 years ago, isn't He? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews chapter 13 says. So we serve the same Lord. And what do we find when we come to Jesus today? Well, we find that Jesus is compassionate. We find that Jesus cares. He knows what sin has done to us. And He knows what we're going through. He's moved by our plight. As I said, there are many members of this congregation who are struggling and who are suffering with physical ailments. And that's just physical. Many here who are struggling spiritually. Many here who are struggling emotionally. Many here who are struggling in many ways. I want you to know that Jesus knows what you're going through, and He cares. He cares. He is still a compassionate Lord. He is touched by our plight. He's touched by what we are going through. That's the idea behind mercy. Mercy is the idea of being touched by someone else's plight to the point that you'll do what you can to help them. And we know and see that Jesus is ready, willing, and He is able to cleanse us of our sin. He has already gone further than anyone could have ever asked Him to go. He's died on the cross for your sins. He's already gone further. When He died on the cross, He shed His blood so that our sins could be washed away. And when He rose from the dead, He gained victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave, so that we can have hope that regardless of what happens in this life, we know that we'll see the life that is to come. We'll know that we'll be with the Lord in heaven. We have the same Jesus today that this leper saw. And while leprosy may not be our problem, sin certainly is. But this leper teaches us how to come to Jesus and receive what we need. We need to come to Him in faith. We need to come to Him with humility. We need to come to Him with a heart that is ready to obey and ready to receive what the Lord has promised to those who have faith, and to those who will obey. If you're here and you have sin in your life, only Jesus can take it away. If you need to become a Christian, a child of God, He is ready, willing, and able to receive you to cleanse you and to make you a child of God if you're ready, willing, and able to obey the gospel. If you've done that in the past, but you've allowed sin to come back into your life, and it's begun to take you away from the Lord, you're beginning to suffer for that, and you realize it, and you need to make things right, then Jesus is ready, willing, and able to help you. Repent and pray for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, please let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.